Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here in the studio with Blythe Alberg. How are you doing,
guys? Hi, I'm fantastic. How are you doing today?
Fantastic, especially now that I know we're going to be talking about metabolism.
That's a great topic, actually. I know there are a lot of people out there that have a lot of questions, so hopefully we can get some of those answered today.
Well, let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
I want to first start by kind of talking about what metabolism is. And we're going to talk a lot about what's called the calorie theory of weight loss, which is really the accepted theory as to why we put on weight, lose weight, or maintain our weight, right?
Right. I think most weight loss programs are based on that calorie theory. Eat 1,500 calories, burn 500, you've got 1,000 left over. What happens with those?
Well, you're going to store those calories, aren't you?
That's what it sounds like until you do a little bit of investigating. You and I have dug up some exciting tidbits of information that we'd like to share with our listeners.
Absolutely. Let me start by telling you guys a little story. Back in April of 2003, Harvard scientists decided to look into this theory, this calorie theory of weight loss. Mm-hmm. And so what they did was they took three groups of people. Now, one group was put on a low-fat diet, which is your standard kind of low-fat AMA-style diet, right?
Yeah, okay.
And the second group was put on a low-carb diet with an equal number of calories as the low-fat diet.
Okay.
The third group was put on a low-carb diet, but they added 300 calories per day to their program. Okay. And it was a very well-controlled diet where the researcher literally went into the kitchen and made bags of food that these people would come and pick up every single day.
Wow, okay.
After 12 weeks, the results were in. And let me tell you what happened. The low-fat diet group lost 17 pounds, which is pretty impressive, right? For 12 weeks?
Yeah, that's great.
The low-carb group, however, lost 23 pounds.
Wow.
Now, that's the group that was given the low-carb diet but had the same number of calories as the low-fat diet.
Okay.
Now, what was even more surprising was the low-carb group that was given 300 extra calories per day. Now, keep in mind that through the course of the study, that's 25,000 more calories eaten
over the 12
than
weeks.
The low-fat
right.
diet group and the group that was given the low-carb diet with this equal amount of calories.
Okay.
They lost 20 pounds, not quite as much as the low-carb diet that ate fewer calories, but more than the group that was given the low-fat diet, even though the low-fat diet group ate fewer calories.
Okay.
So if the calorie theory held true, then they should have, the group that ate the low-fat, lower-calorie diet should have lost significantly more weight.
You're right.
But it didn't happen that way. This is, in fact, not the first time that the calorie theory of weight loss has been called into question. In fact, back in 1893, a medical physicist named Dr. Adolf Fick basically disproved his theory through physics.
Okay.
The calorie theory basically assumes that the human body is like a heat engine, meaning that it kind of burns energy like you burn wood in a fireplace.
Okay. That kind of makes sense because that's how we measure a calorie, correct?
Exactly. Okay. We basically burn it in a laboratory and see how much heat it releases, and then that determines how many calories is in that food. So when scientists did that, they would take, for instance, a carbohydrate, and they would burn it, and that equals how many calories?
4.
They then took a fat, and they burned that, and how many calories was that?
9.
And then they took a protein, and they burned that, and how many calories was that?
4.
So basically what they're assessing is how much heat is given off from each type of macronutrient, basically.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So if you eat a Big Mac, basically the way they test how many calories is in that Big Mac is they burn it and see how many calories worth of heat are released.
Okay. So that's how they measure a calorie.
Right. So the assumption is that all calories are created equal, right? Well, another doctor back in 1961 by the name of Dr. Herman Taller wrote this. He said, to say that a specific number of calories will make you fat is as silly as it is to say that a certain number of microbes will make you sick. What type of calories? What type of microbes?
Well, that really makes me question the calorie theory.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because you had just told us that 4 calories are found in a carbohydrate and 4 calories are found in a protein, right?
Right.
But that only works if they both burn equally in the body, correct?
You're right. And you and I had been talking before we started this podcast today about structural storage of calories and energy burning of calories.
I actually looked up the definition of metabolism before I came on here today. And here's what it said. The chemical process, and this is the definition of metabolism, the chemical process occurring within a living cell or organism that are necessary for the maintenance of life. In metabolism, some substances are broken down to yield energy for vital processes, while other substances necessary for life are synthesized.
Okay.
Meaning that metabolism is about taking nutrients out of food and using some of them for energy and some of them for structure.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that. What's the difference?
Well, let's say this. Okay. So there are 4 calories in a gram of protein, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Protein makes up the structure of our body. It's what makes up our muscles and organs. It's found in our brain. It's found in our bones. It's found basically everywhere. It's what gives our body substance, right?
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
So we said that there are 4 calories in a gram of protein. So let's say we eat 1 gram of protein, which
would
technically equal 4 calories.
Okay.
But all of that protein was used to form our butt muscle.
Okay.
How many calories did we just eat?
Well, my first time you asked me that, I said 4. But now I know the answer is 0, actually.
Yes.
Since all of those calories went to structure of our physique, of our rear end, like you said, then we are not burning those 4 calories.
Exactly. So functionally, even though if we were to burn that protein, it would equal 4 calories, mm-hmm. functionally in our body, because that protein was used in structure, not in energy, it would really not add to our calorie count for the day, right?
Right. I think something important that people out there should know is when you go long times without eating, your body dips into your muscle store or your structure and will start burning those calories. So those 4 calories of protein that you ate that were stored in your butt muscle, if you go 6 hours without eating and you go for a walk, you're going to burn those 4 calories then.
Right, exactly. Because the body has no place to store protein. Mm-hmm. The only place it can store protein is in our muscles, in our tissues. So that is your storage depot. And like you say, if you starve yourself, which a lot of people do out there, mm-hmm. you're going to basically be eating up that muscle.
And muscle is crucial to have. You and I had been talking about how many calories 1 pound of muscle burns versus 1 pound of fat.
Now, there is some controversy out there, right?
When
you did a little research on this, you found a number of websites and articles where they were saying...
I sure did, that 1 pound of muscle will burn between 35 and 50 calories, meaning someone who weighs like 160 pounds of pure muscle...
will burn like 8,000 calories a day.
It was crazy. It was some crazy number. So we did a little more research and found that 1 pound of muscle will actually burn somewhere between 7 and 10 calories. That's per day. And 1 pound of fat will burn somewhere between 2 and 3 calories.
Now, when you kind of go through and do the math about how many does that equal in, let's say, a month or a year?
Well, in a day, that equates to like 15 to 30 calories. In a month, it starts adding up 450 to say 900 calories. And then per year, you can actually be burning up to 10,800 calories in that year, depending on how much muscle mass you have.
Right. And the average person, how many pounds of muscle would you say the average person puts on if they, let's say, work out for a few months?
Usually 3 or 4 months. I would say any 12-week program. Mm-hmm. Most people are put on a 12-week program, would put on 3 to 4 pounds of muscle. So that's 10, 20, 30, 40 extra calories a day you could be ingesting to keep your metabolism burning.
Now, it doesn't sound like much, but when you start adding it up, it does make a difference. And in fact, that muscle loss occurs as we get older, right?
And oh, yeah.
A lot of that has to do just with how sedentary you get when we get older as well.
That's right. I did read a little article that said most adults after the age of 20 lose about 0.5 pound of muscle each year. And these are people who aren't resistance training. Your body fat goes up the same time as your
muscle goes down.
Your muscle goes down and your weight may stay the same. I see a lot of that. People become skinny fat.
Yes, and they are burning fewer calories because of it. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about metabolism. So what kind of tips can we give people to kind of get them moving to improve their overall metabolism?
We just said a key word, get them moving. Mm. Moving is one of the first, actually. Resistance training is number one, of course. But getting yourself into a routine of being active is where you've got to start.
Right. Now, when we've done metabolic testing, we're doing a podcast here, and right next to you is our
basal metabolic rate tester.
Basal metabolic rate testing. Basically, people sit and they breathe through this machine, and it tells us how many calories their body burns at rest, which comprises, what is it, about 75, 80% of the calories that you burn in a day?
Yeah.
And what determines that are a number of factors. But one of the key factors is how much muscle mass you have on your body, right?
That's correct.
So we have to protect that muscle mass in order to protect our metabolism.
Right. And if our body is predisposed to losing a half a pound of muscle as we age, we need to up our resistance training and up the intensity to hold on to that muscle mass.
And science has proven that you can reserve that muscle. You can maintain that muscle. And in fact, as we get older, we can even put muscle on.
We can gain. Yeah.
And I know that I've seen in some of your competitions, some of the fitness competitions that you've had, mm-hmm. there are some older gentlemen that are natural bodybuilders that look better today than they did when they were probably 20 or 30.
You know, it's crazy. I think consistency is key when it comes to something like that. People who work out on a regular basis, do their resistance training, and eat a healthy diet full of protein to rebuild everything that they tear down.
Absolutely. Now, another component of metabolism is going to be certain hormones that your body produces, specifically the sex hormones like estrogen and testosterone, mm-hmm. Growth hormone, and thyroid hormone. Now, we are, being in pharmacy, I can tell you that we are in an epidemic of thyroid hormone deficiency.
Okay.
And I believe that this is primarily occurring because people are sedentary. We need to get up. We need to move. Mm-hmm. We need to keep the body active so the body will want to keep our metabolism functioning.
So we've hit this epidemic because people are so inactive. Is that what you're saying?
They're so inactive, and the foods that they're eating are basically poisoning their system.
Yeah.
Now,
is it high carbohydrate, high refined carbohydrate foods?
High refined carbohydrates.
I'm not saying carbs are bad. I'm talking about the refined carbohydrates. Everything you go out and buy mm-hmm. at the grocery store or any convenience food is primarily sugar.
Yes.
Refined carbohydrates.
What we see when we actually look at people's metabolism and people's biochemistry is there is no single process that exists in a vacuum. So if you have insulin resistance, mm-hmm. which we all know is what ultimately leads to diabetes,
yes.
and many people are walking around with insulin resistance where the body doesn't utilize insulin very well, and therefore they can suffer some of the same complications as a diabetic, even though their blood sugar can be normal. But whenever we see resistance of one process, like let's say insulin resistance, mm-hmm. we also see cortisol resistance. We see thyroid resistance. We see all kinds of other biochemical changes that kind of follow that. So if we fix the insulin resistance, oftentimes the rest of the biochemistry will balance itself.
Okay.
So yes, it's oftentimes carbohydrates. It's also trans fatty acids and also the damaged fats that we eat. When we cook fats, we destroy their beneficial components.
Right.
When we cook proteins, we destroy a lot of their what we call in science tertiary structure. You know, a protein doesn't look like a long chain. It's actually folded up into a certain form that the body recognizes. When you cook and damage that protein, it destroys the body's ability to utilize all that protein.
Mm, okay.
So we've got to look at the quality of protein that we eat,
yes,
as well, and
yes,
the quality of the fats. That all comes into play.
So do you recommend, and this may be going off on a tangent, but I really want to know the answer to this. Do you recommend organic meats? Do you recommend, say, free-range eggs and mm-hmm. things like that, less damaged?
Yes. You can never go wrong doing that, really. I mean, if you think about it, the body maintains fat for numerous reasons, and we're going to basically focus on the metabolic reasons today, but there are other reasons as well. I mean, the body fat is where your body stores toxins. Okay. And when I say toxins, I mean pesticides. I mean, mm-hmm. Plastics that are in the water, plastics that are in the cooked foods that we eat, the heavy metals that we eat, mm-hmm. The gasoline derivatives that we're exposed to on a daily basis. The body has to move them away from the organs in order to protect the organism. So where does it put it? It puts it in the fat cells. So there are many reasons to go organic or free range when you're eating. But it is a bit of a tangent, but it was a good question.
Okay.
So let's focus more on metabolism right now.
Sure.
What other things can we do? What can we recommend people do right now to boost their metabolism?
All right. Well, let's break that up into two parts then. We've got our metabolism at rest, and then we've got our active metabolism. I think for if somebody wants to get active right now, really go for a walk right this instant. Don't even bother stopping and tying your tennis shoes. Get up, wear the shoes you're wearing right now, and go for a walk.
Yeah.
Your short-term goal in the next 2 to 3 hours is to get your butt up off the chair and get active.
Right. It doesn't take any extra time. I mean, you're probably going to be spending time watching TV tonight anyway, so just take that time and walk.
Right, and walk while you're watching TV. I know we talked about that in our last podcast.
Yeah, one of the best recommendations I think that I've heard, especially for people who are just now getting started, who don't have a habit of fitness in their life, is to do what's called the 30-day challenge. For the next 30 days, and when I say 30 days, I mean 30 consecutive days. No,
in a row, right.
In a row. I'm not talking, you know, weekends included. Mm-hmm. You get up, and all you do is you commit to walking for 30 minutes every single day.
No ifs, ands, buts about it. If it's raining, hailing, I don't care.
Exactly.
Yes.
Don't make any excuses. Don't say to yourself, oh, I need to get new running shoes or I need to – don't make any excuses at all. Just get up and walk in whatever. If you have to walk barefoot, it's okay. Walk barefoot.
If you have to walk circles around your house.
I do it. I walk circles around my parking lot.
Okay.
In my townhouse community.
Okay.
So whatever you do, just walk.
Yeah,
easy. It doesn't take much effort, does it?
That's something you can do right now, everybody. And if you're driving, guess what? When you park your car, park a little farther away. Don't look for the closest parking space. Make yourself walk a little farther. Become more active than you were when you woke up this morning.
Right. And I know that's cliche. I know that recommendation. But when was the last time you actually did it? When was the last time you actually did it? It's one thing to know something. It's one thing to do it and use it, right?
You're right. Yep. So let's also talk about people who are brand new to this. That 30-day challenge is a great idea. Mm-hmm. People who are maybe a little more advanced, I would recommend some type of interval training. Somebody who's already walking 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, or
working
7 days
out
a week.
5 days a week,
yeah.
3 to 5 days
people
a week.
People who are regulars at working out, you're going to need to add something new to your program that will merit new results. And interval training is a great way to do that.
Absolutely.
If you haven't heard about interval training, you can still do it within 30 minutes. Actually, you can do it in less than 30 minutes.
15, 20 minutes could be enough.
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes. I usually go for 20 minutes because I count the warm up and the cool down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But really, you know, if you're doing your walk on a treadmill, try jogging for 1 minute and then cooling down for 2 minutes. Jog for another minute, cool down for 2 minutes. Or if you're feeling frisky, sprint.
Mm-hmm. The more advanced you get, the harder you work and the shorter the amount of time that you work out as
well. That's correct.
So you may start off, for instance, if you're doing the 30-minute challenge, a 30-day, 30-minute challenge, mm-hmm. 30 days, 30 minutes every single day for 30 consecutive days, you could actually implement a mild form of interval training during that process. So you may walk for 5 minutes to warm up, and then you may just walk a little faster for a minute, mm-hmm. and when you feel a bit winded, you go back to walking at a normal, regular pace.
Sure, or add an incline if you want to.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're walking outside, you can just make it makes it go by fast, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh. Interval training makes your workout pass quickly. If you're somebody who watches the clock, go for a walk outside.
Yeah. So as I said, the more advanced you get, you may move up to the point where you're sprinting for 15 seconds all out until you can't take another step. And then you go back to just really light walking mm-hmm. until you're recovered. And then you sprint again. You know, that's an advanced form. Don't start off with that. Mm-hmm. If you're deconditioned or in bad shape.
Right. And if you're somebody who likes to run at the track, I know for me, this is something that works. When the weather is nice, I like to get outside and I'll do like a 100-yard dash and then do a lap around the track and do another 100-yard dash and do a lap around the track. And by the time I do that full lap, I'm pretty much cooled down and I'm ready, you know, to do another sprint. And if I feel too winded, well, then I'll walk 2 laps.
Right.
But if I count 8 sprints, that's all I'm going to do today. It really, the time really just flies by.
Right. I encourage people to get a pair of binoculars and sit out front in the Your Prescription for Health, which
sit
is the place that I work.
Or stand out front.
Stand out front, or you know, even hide out in your car with your binoculars and watch outside. If I have to go to the bank, for instance, there's a bank. It's about a few hundred feet from my office. you will see me walk out the door and I will sprint over across the street to the bank. I know it's funny, it's hilarious, but at the same time, it's me doing one quick interval.
And guess what? It adds up.
It does add up.
So that's great for active metabolism. Let's talk about metabolism at rest. You want to tell us a little bit?
Well, we've talked about resistance training, and we talked about how adding a pound of muscle may only increase your metabolism, your resting metabolism, that is, by about 10 calories.
Mm-hmm.
So for every pound you add of muscle mass, you burn 10 more calories throughout the day.
Okay.
That's fine. But what we don't talk about enough is how that impacts the amount of calories you burn during a workout. So if you have 150 pounds of muscle on your body,
okay,
and you go for a 30-minute run, you're gonna burn more calories than somebody who only has 100 pounds of muscle lean mass.
Okay.
Because that tissue is metabolically active and it burns. It wastes more calories when you're working out than if you don't have that muscle on board.
Sure. Okay. So a smaller person, say somebody my size versus somebody your size,
mm-hmm.
Say we both go running at the track. Say we do the same workout together. I'm going to burn less calories than you are just because we have different amounts of muscle mass.
Correct. All right, guys. Well, we're going to end it here. But thank you guys for tuning in. We really honestly hope that you're getting lots of good, useful information from us on this. And more importantly than that, we hope that you're implementing it and putting it to use to achieve your weight loss goals. Please reach us through the website at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. You can ask us questions on there. Also, we are now on Facebook, so please sign up as a friend. Tell all of your friends to sign up and tell them to go on iTunes and download the Cut the Fat podcast. If you haven't had an opportunity to already, go on there and just give us a rating. It helps us to reach higher levels on their search engine and reach more and more people. Thank you guys very much, and we look forward to providing you with tons of great shows in this coming year. Little twist of what you know is true. You're in a cloudy hole, shit don't touch you. You feel a place to pop, the pus is blue. And all the sticky things that keep